Empress B and Felicity, We Are Gathering. What a way to kick off this edition of Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme on VOB 92.9 FM. And we say good evening to the man himself, Sluggy Dan. He's out there. Special guest again this week, Gibbsy Dan. It's the two Dans, Dan versus Dan.
Manners, respect.
Hey. We're going all right, are you good?
I'm well. Looking forward to this program here today. Last week was great. This one will be great too. Yeah, man. Take it away, Kev.
Yes, sir.
I said, Kevin, take it away, but he like Sizzler, you took yourself away. So let's go. Go ahead, Kev. You got to take your mic off so we can hear you. Go ahead. I don't know what's happened there. Gibbs, are you there?
Yeah, I hear Ronnie. I hear.
All right. Well, I don't know what's happened to Kevin. Kevin seems to have just disappeared. But he's there. I can see him, but I'm not hearing him.
And I can see too. So at least we know he's working.
He's connecting to audio.
Good now?
Ah, that's better. Yeah, 2020. Yeah. Yes. Gotcha.
Good. You know, technology, I need a device, so I see Triple X messaging, and I see my mother messaging, I see six other people messaging. Yes, I need a device, so don't message me and tell me you can't hear me and all that. I need a device, so donate one to me or Starcom.
Gotcha.
Good. I want to say good evening to Barbados. I want to say good evening to Barbados. I want to thank everyone once again for coming out Wednesday to my little get-together called Rhythm and Rhyme of Life at Bar Cutters every Wednesday at 7 p.m. when they feature strictly Barbadian talent, both young and old. And hoping to get Gibbs down come through soon. But you know, when you got the superstars, you have to make requests far in advance. So I'm hoping one of these Wednesdays we can have the illustrious Sir Gibbsy Dan at my Rhythm and Rhyme of Life at Bar Cutters. He's a really good spot. I want to big up pawnbrokers for donating the tablet and the fire stick last week. And some people calling and saying they want to donate some prizes for the people that are singing and the guests and so on. That's great. Thank you. If you want to donate, 236-3534. Yes, 236-3534. And last but certainly not least, thanks to everyone who continued to listen to Sir Nobby Clark and I every Saturday for Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme. The response is lovely, and I'm extremely pleased and never in a million years dreamed this so good. I want to thank talented brother Gibbsy Dan. We can have a chat to dear boy. How have the week been so far, my brother?
It was good so far in mine. It was busy, but it's just a matter of putting in work in different areas and just trying to progress in all of them. So it's cool, yeah. Man. I like being active, you know. So
yeah, the response to this song by this two boy, you and I figured though, not being cocky, but with the amount of work you put in and the careful attention you put into it, and then they saw that you thank the NCF, so you probably get backing from the NCF. I figured with the amount of work, you know, you put in, you expected this response, or you're still a bit surprised, or you're a bit disappointed. I want the real.
It definitely exceeded expectations because, you know, you post things and you always have some sort of idea how much traction it might get and everything, right? And my confidence was in the fact that a video will always do better than posting a song with just a cover art, because, you know, people love visuals. And I knew that Vandes had to have a visual because this song is 3 years old, you know. And that was a good experiment, because when I posted this on YouTube 3 years ago, it was just a song with a cover art. And it ain't no bad. I mean, in the last 3 years, I think it racked up like 5,000 views or something. Yeah. So ain't no bad. But I knew a video had to come for this song. It was just when I would find the time to get done, the resources and everything had to align perfectly. And it just so happened that in this COVID situation, the NCF brilliantly put together something that, you know, could finance certain projects for certain artists. So shout out to the NCF for always being forward thinking and, you know, coming up with new ways to help propel artists. And
Yes, man. Listen, big up the NCF, big up Auntie Carol, one time, big up the NCF, you know.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah, as everybody know, me y'all benefited from them. Looking to do another project soon. So hopefully soon you'll be seeing something big coming from me, sponsored by NCF, big TV show. You know, we're looking to upgrade all the time. Can't let everything on the bike just yet, though. So biggest to the NCF for real, my biggest to people like Dwayne Rosette too, who is good beyond the call of duty to help snuff artists too. Really got bigger the little people inside, man. Bigger everyone of the NCF for real. And little boy Andrea Hoy. Bang bang. This video though, right, Ronnie gave me, send me back to like when I'm thinking about like last Saturday night by Mad, and I told him about the times where they had, you know, only one place to watch videos, right? And the level of videos we had, like, you know, we had a minibus story with the two white girls on the minibus.
Yeah, I remember that one. Two white girls on the minibus, yeah.
Yeah, group called The Word. That, Ronnie? A group called The Word. That was 1988, a duo called The Word.
Oh, nice. Yes, that sent me back to that, Ronnie. You know, opinion is two different perspectives of the same culture. But when you listen to these stories, you could tell that, yeah, this person traveled from the same type of vehicle, had similar experiences, but explaining it differently.
Yeah.
Like, that's the same. But after them days, like, and then you had the video where, come back home and put down the toilet, come back home.
Cassius Clay.
You know, you had...
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah. Yeah, this video sent me back to like when we were studying, taking the audience on an experience.
Yeah.
On an experience. And it's so good to see art being played and performed and portrayed in 2020 with good storytelling still. You know what I mean? It's so great to still see that in 2020 gigs, because I really miss that way. Love people like Farrell, and I'm glad Farrell is really active now, really doing things and really pushing the art out there. You know, and he include a band as well, you know. So I love Aja and the Reemergence band as well. I love what you're doing. I love, man, there's so much things in the arts that gives you, like, you never know, like, we are part of. I see Dye Brown moving a DJ. When he doing, he gives, which is so great. I know it sounds so simple, but is this Dye Brown is an actor and comedian, mm-hmm. right? And I see Dye Brown now doing shows now, Jamestown. He got one to speak in the 18th Jamestown. See that we're doing his show and DJ DMZ playing at the same show. So you could got DMZ shutting down the place, and then you got Dye Brown come and do his art and his comedy and so on. You understand?
Yeah, man.
Like that. Gives you though, you think that and salute Dave Brown wherever you are. If you're listening, my brother, salute Dave Brown and salute Triple X. So Triple X has got enough ideas like this too.
And yeah, our doctor respects mine for sure.
Yeah, extra supportive, always comes out and support, you know. And we got a lot of things to do, man. We got a lovely hidden treasure there and notes later on the end of the show. I got Sam Big coming off. I find a big getaway in Barbados, Gibbsy Boy, like Woods, but clear, surrounded by bear trees and hundreds of acres of land, and it just opened and got enough trees and a great sanctuary around it. And then land that spot, like the true doing things like this show where people present opportunities. So I must salute the average public gazee that is still support art and the artists, because you know, as you know, in this struggle, Gibbsy, is usually a lot of me. 99% of these guys do sign outs and then do this.
Yeah.
I would like
99
to...
and like, you know what I mean? Go ahead, Ronnie.
Yeah, Gibbsy, in terms of Van Days, I remember in the Ooh, this would have been possibly early 90s by the time it became a song. There was a song called Turn It Down, all the minibus man, I want you to turn it down, because the impact or the perception of the impact of minibuses at that time, because we were dealing with minibuses, was negative in terms of the volume of the music per se. I can't recall the content on the vans being as wild as it became, let's say 10 years ago. I mean, Admiral Bailey had a particular song, but you would hardly hear crass material on a minibus per se, when, you know, the cassettes were being done by DJ Super or whoever. But there was this observation that the behavior of the children, some children, was affected by the vans at that time. Now, we're talking late 80s to early 90s. Compare, now that you are older and you have a song called Van Days, compare what would be Van Days now versus Van Days then. Because if you get in a van now, you may hear something radically different from what happened back then. There are some vans that play gospel music, it's true. But there are a couple that play the hardest gun tunes, gangster tunes, whether it be Trinidad, Barbados, or whatever comes from Jamaica down a particular line. Do you see that now?
Barbados is what it's called now.
Yeah, Barbados now. Lord have mercy. Okay.
Either war or raw. You can pick which one you want.
Oh, war. Yeah. Okay. All right. But you're not hearing much of that on the radio, yeah. I can guarantee you. All the talk people putting down there about these type of songs and frightened to name them to further discuss it. But anyhow, that's another conversation for another time. How do you view the van culture then versus the minibus culture versus the van culture now? Because you're sharing your memories and thoughts, you know?
Yeah, well, I guess when I was catching the most van would have been when I was in school. So, you know, I didn't catch van in primary school, but definitely from first form straight through to, you know, even tertiary and everything. So that was when I was catching van every single day. And I do remember, you know, when you're younger, a lot of things are fun. And I remember being at Colmere and that has certain vans that the principal spoke against us catching because those vans were considered to be reckless, that could endanger your life. The music was too loud and too much crass things would happen inside these vans, right? So certain vans used to park outside the gate on the evening and you would just hear the set. That time is like 2:40 in the afternoon, you know, because school finished at 2:50.
Correct.
And the vans already park outside waiting because they know that they can get a full load. And we used to enjoy catching the vans back then, man. I mean, boring to get in a van, rushing to get down in the back seat. You know, in most cases, you got a girl in your lap. That was a rite of passage, too. And sometimes we used to go in the van twice. Sometimes we used to take a full trip all the way to town and then pay an extra dollar to go around again because we'd just enjoy the music and things. So,
don't let the kids hear this, what you did say, you know, very chastly.
Yeah, man, yeah. Yeah. So we used to do a lot of foolishness. It was retarded, honestly. And looking back on it now, I ain't ashamed, but I know that I passed that stage in my life, right? And on the vans, a lot of nonsense used to happen. I mean, there had times where the police report the van and everybody had to go. So you had to still end up walking to town. They had other instances where they even had situations where the vans crash. There was an incident that happened where a van turned over with some students in it and somebody was very seriously injured. So all of these things were part of the territory when he was catching van back in the day. I found as I got older though, I was more selective about what kind of vans I would catch. So that automatically removed me from a lot of things. So I stopped seeing certain things because I stopped catching certain vans.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't speak for what was happening after I moved past a certain stage, but based on the amount of reports I see, like amount of times I had to overtake vans that get pulled over on the road.
And social media don't let us forget either, because social media, every couple of weeks you see some minivans that are on IG or Facebook doing some nonsense in a video. Just lady here, see somebody, a girl, the van, a pelton bear out in another van, all that kind of thing circling on social media. So, social media for sure, no, you can give the experience because people even record from in the van.
But let's put it in the context of the popular, let's put it in the context of the popular culture. I believe for my son who is 18 now, this is a far more tense and dangerous time for him to live as a young man in Barbados than it was when I was 18 in 1989 and going to Combat Middle School, catching the same 107, B11 or whatever, the B168, the coaster, the biscuit tin 115. Because the level of aggression, the level of aggression and the lack of resolution of conflicts and the haste to pull out something or to message someone to come with something, it's different now than it was then. And then the music, which is commercially successful, is far more raw than what was commercially successful 30 years ago. So the commonality with which you will hear certain expression and be introduced to imagery that gives you the visual to that expression, that was not as pervasive in the 80s and 90s as it is now. And social media has a lot to do with that. Not just social media in terms of transmitting it and distributing it. The issues within the community and within the home, they play a major role too, because, you know. And then we would have seen a video. We would have seen a video last couple of days of a youngster and a teacher in a back and forth. And I am sure that these things may have been rare in my time, because I can't see that happening when I was at Combat Middle School and continuing like what I saw in that video. But there's a spirit and a defiance and potentially some other issues there. And you wonder, what is the soundtrack of that young man's life? Is it going to be Fred Hammond and Radical for Christ? And I'm just saying that, putting it out there. Or will it be one of the artists that has a particular type of message and theme? Because look, if you look at news conveys many things. It conveys incidents of violence and drugs, etc. But it doesn't make the hearer of the news have a desire or penchant for that type of activity. There is some type of entertainment
that's a good point.
And I'm talking about news, and it's also in the paper because the crime part is pretty extensive, and you see pictures, and then you've seen the salutes to the gallery when people are going to and from arraignment or being charged, whatever. So I think
bad news sells.
This generation has it harder, because if you go out, and I'm saying this, Gibbsy, because the vans that you speak of traveled through the same communities now and did 30 years ago, but things have changed. You go to a fete now, and you will hear the Melandro music, because that's the big theme now, Melandro, you know? And people need to look that up to see exactly what that is. But that's like for the people in the 50s and 60s that went to see Western movies where a man would kill 15 people with a six shooter, right? And still have one bullet left when it's time for him to take out the guy, and everybody claps at that. The reality is it's far more dangerous and tense now. You get more of a feeling of something might go off and happen when you go to certain places today than you did 20 years ago. And I'm sure, you know, the vans take you to the same places.
Well, I mean, it's statistically proven that our crime rate has increased substantially over the last years. And I think last year was one of the highest years in a long time, or probably one of the highest ever. The likelihood of gunshots going off after the cruise, now I would say it has increased fourfold or even threefold. So yes, there is a tension. I agree, Ronnie. There is a tension right now that you might experience. And a lot of my friends have told me that they just don't feel as comfortable being out anymore, because you're always kind of looking over your shoulder to see if somebody just gonna run up on somebody else and do something. Because after what happened in Sheridan, I think it's clear that we got a new breeder, a Fender. There was a time where nobody would ever even think of shooting somebody inside the Sheraton during the daytime. At peak, you know, peak traffic, where it's like people getting lunch, everything busy, everybody going inside Subway, KFC, you know, it's a regular day in Sheraton, and then a man just gets shot and killed at the entrance.
Yeah.
So that showed us that, all right, people moving a little different in these times now. So you translate that to cruise life and everything now. More than once, people have been shot and killed after cruises in Barbados. People waiting for you at the dock. So, yeah, people moving differently now, man.
And so you think that...
Listen, this was an interesting point. This is really an interesting point, Ronnie, right? And when you see like movies and different art and acting, and how do you measure that versus songs being portraying the same thing and all being art? How do we measure them or gauge them or differentiate? Because the movie could be violent, we understand that it's a movie.
But, you know, Quentin Tarantino is a director / screenwriter that receives a lot of criticism for the amount of blood, gore, violence, and harsh language in his movies. And he always says that's his style and that's his choice. And at the end of the day, he doesn't think it encourages people to pick up weapons and go and do the same. You know, he said that sometimes art imitates life and sometimes life imitates art, but he is not a proponent for violence, but at the same time, he will not refrain from putting graphic depictions of violence in his material. So to attribute or to conflate violence with movies and stuff is kind of trying to blanket over everything, because there's a lot of intricacies in there and a lot of explanations for certain things. So I think it's kind of lazy to just throw a blanket and say, is the violence in movies that causing people to... Because, I mean, before we have movies, we have violence, right?
Right, no. I don't think... Right, correct. I agree. I mean, a person might sing a violent song and we might rightfully so frown upon it, saying, shh, man, I don't like that song's promoting violence. But then we might watch a violent movie and it don't affect me in no way. We might just see a movie as that. This movie is just art. He's just acting like the snipes ain't really the vampire slayer. He was just acting as the vampire slayer. But
you have to look at this. You have to look at this too. And obviously you look at it in rap as it is today versus rap 30 years ago. And you look at what Bajans call dub, but is really dancehall globally versus what they had 30 years ago. Because 30 years ago... Ninja Man was the Dan Gorgon. He was the bad man. And this was before Cobra and these other fellas followed him. But when you really check Ninja Man's lyrics then compared to the type of lyrics that you're getting now that speak about killing and death and Don and Gunman, those were nursery school compared to what is out there now. And like I said, because there's a ruthlessness.
Yeah, true.
There's a ruthlessness and there's a coldness in the hearts of people that are in their own words, about survival. You can't call that progress. You just got to call it survival. That is a tale of who they are. Because when you can read about gunmen, as they say in Jamaica, bold enough to shoot police and to attack police stations, you're dealing with a different level of aggression that we haven't seen yet. But I caution you, we haven't seen it yet. In certain parts of the Caribbean. I know it's a minority, but I'm just saying that this is the soundtrack to that area that people say that they are concerned about, because they don't live there. They don't come from there. So if a fella sings about police brutality or he sings about vengeance, for the most part, many of these people who are singing them kind of songs have some kind of knowledge or experience with that. You're not going to expect them to write Swan Lake or Macbeth per se. They can only look at what they see around them. But the key thing is, with social media now, There's no filtering on social media. It's out there. There's filtering on national television. There's filtering on national radio, but it's not on the other platforms that people can go to. So the songs that they hear, they can get exactly what they want to hear the way it was originally recorded and not the re-recording by the artist on those platforms. I mean, one thing that happened the other day, this guy drove past and he was playing a raw dancehall song. And he had a child in the front seat. In the front seat. And now it's not to say that if he wanted to listen to his music himself while he's driving, then that's his choice as an adult. But that child had no choice in hearing that music. And it was raw. Raw, raw, raw. And he's just cruising, going through town, happy as a lark.
Yeah.
But he must know there's going to be causing some damage to that youngster, because those words will become commonplace to that youngster. You know? So I think that your song really causes people to think, hey, yeah, I remember we used to do that back in the day, but there's a lot of stuff that is being done now. And now, you know, we're talking about sex, we're talking about violence, we're talking about drugs, talking about money. In some form, those vices were around, because there's nothing new under the sun, according to the word. But I'm saying that it seems as though it's a lot more tense and dangerous now. And when you can look in the newspaper and see a person has 100 convictions in terms of driving or conducting, that, you can't explain that. You really can't explain that. And then there is a tendency. When them Van Days back then, you had to wear the yellow shirt. Most guys had on a black or blue jeans. They had on the badge. They you know, they looked a certain way.
The bike.
They look well.
Remember, you had to have a bike too.
They look well groomed. And I could tell you a couple of the conductors that used to work the vans in Bush Hall. They're older than the school kids, and you can hear them sharing knowledge with some of these school kids. You know, having a sense of humor, but also encouraging them. Also encouraging them.
And
the music they're playing, it might be the popular music of the day, but the songs on that, on those rhythms that are not suitable, they would not be playing them inside the van. They just wouldn't. So the kids would get the bounce and the beat and, you know, sit together or whatever the case may be, and then go into school. But the level of aggression in the music then was not the same as it is now. It's not. Nowhere. No way.
But you know what? You know the interesting thing, right, Ronnie, is that the messages are more aggressive, no, in a lot of ways. But when I listen to dancehall, no, I was listening to it for a while before I made a conclusion. Right, the tempo of the dancehall music, no, is a lot more slow and deliberate, and you can really hear the lyrics a lot better, no. It's not my tempo, because I grew up on the dancehall that was hype and extremely energetic. But no, dancehall kind of slowed down a lot, no, and is a lot more mellow. But no, people
dancehall, a lot of those feels, no, trying to capture that world song right next to fusion dancehall with the hip hop.
Well, but
allowing people to really meditate on it, no.
Yeah, but you see, that's because you got the lyricists. You got people like Vybz Kartel still producing music, and that in itself is amazing, given the fact that he is where he is. It is. You just have to scratch your head. He's the number one artist in dancehall today, and he's still in prison. He hasn't got the freedom to go to studios like all the other guys have, but he's way above them still. Now, you have to remember,
that's crazy.
In as much as that Jamaican dub artists were popular on rhythms by King Jammy and Harry J and Techniques and that kind of thing. You know, we know the rhythms that we're talking about, Pick Out All Stars.